we're leading with China backing economic sanctions on North Korea. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The UN Security Council agreed to sanction North Korea over the weekend after reports the country successfully tested two intercontinental ballistic missiles in the last month. The sanctions would cut North Korea's exports by roughly $1 billion. These new penalties are backed by China, which accounts for nearly all of North Korea's trade. China has often resisted North Korean sanctions in the past. The BBC's Mike Powell filed this for us from Seoul.
Chinese state media is reporting that the new sanctions will be limited and criticizes the USA's so-called arrogance. The sanctions ban North Korean exports of coal, iron, lead, and seafood. As Tom Byrne, the head of the Korean Society in the USA, explained to us, China used to have a much better trade relationship with North Korea.
But one time, North Korea was considered to be a strategic asset for China. I think that asset quality has deteriorated. Companies in the province that border North Korea do get access to cheap, high-grade coals, but the economy as a whole does not really benefit from economic exchanges with North Korea.
Well, despite a similar UN ban on coal exports into China last year, trade between the two countries has actually been rising.
U.S. Secretary of State Tillerson is in the Philippines this week, in part to talk regional security. The key stock index on the South Korean market rose 0.1% today. Let's do some other numbers. The 100-share index in London is up about 4 points, less than 0.1%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are each up 0.1%, plus 30 points for the Dow future. Now to a story about monetizing schadenfreude, the principle of taking delight in others' misfortune. The World Bank has just issued $360 million in what are called catastrophe bonds. It's in collaboration with Mexico. Global investors snapped up the bonds. These are designed to help Mexico pay for emergency relief if something bad happens, like a hurricane or earthquake. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman explains.
Catastrophe bonds are used to spread the risk of insurance losses from natural disasters. The World Bank has recently made them available to developing countries to help them deal with the kind of economic devastation that Mexico suffered back in 2015.
Good evening. Right now, millions are bracing for a hurricane the likes of which we've never seen. It's called Patricia.
After Patricia, Mexico got $50 million.
This is a way to transfer risk from the country essentially to the capital markets.
World Bank Treasury spokesperson Alexandra Klopfer says global investors get a good return, but they could lose big if a major disaster hits. Cornell professor Eswar Prasad says climate change isn't helping.
Significant calamities that are hitting many economies. So the demand for catastrophe bonds is likely to continue to soar.
The World Bank recently issued catastrophe bonds to help poor countries deal with pandemic diseases like Ebola. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Maybe a little early in the morning to contemplate raw seafood salad or super spicy chicken, but it's interesting to track the geography of food trends. Poke, the salad, starts in Hawaii, makes it to the West Coast, and now the East Coasters have woken up to it. As for hot chicken, what happens in Nashville doesn't stay in Nashville. Marketplace's Ryan Kailoth must have been hungry when he pitched this piece.
A few years ago, I interviewed for a job in Nashville, Tennessee. And afterward, the boss took me out to show off her town. First stop was waiting in line at Prince's Hot Chicken Shack, originator of the super spicy Nashville fried chicken. Since then, it's popped up everywhere, from fancy hipster joints to big chains like Shake Shack or Dave & Buster's. But I was surprised this summer to see a hot chicken joint in London. Stagley's Hot Chicken and Liquor. Diners Sabrina Awan and her sister have never been to the States, let alone the South. But they have a definite idea of Southern food.
Like fried chicken,
chicken waffles.
I've seen it on like Man vs. Food. Don't judge me.
The appetite for food trends has accelerated, and that's because we don't just consume food trends now with our mouth.
David Sachs is author of The Tastemakers, a book about food trends and how they happen. More than TV shows, he says, Instagram now spreads the latest food craze faster and farther. This has given big chain restaurants a glut of trends to choose from.
We know that authenticity and the stories about where things come from are almost as important as the actual food itself.
Kevin Hockman is president and chief concept officer of Kentucky Fried Chicken, which added Nashville hot chicken and tenders to its menu last year. The company has a full-time food innovation team whose job it is to hunt down food trends and pitch them to the execs.
I call it democratizing these regional flavors.
After debuting last year, KFC sold 3 million pounds of Nashville hot chicken. Hockman says it's the most successful product launch he remembers. Here's David Sachs again.
Often people say, oh, well, when it hits KFC, it's no longer a trend. But that is actually when it becomes a real full-blown trend, when you can get it at any mall, any food court, any supermarket, or in London, or chicken.
KFC has now also rolled out hot chicken in its stores in India. Sachs says mass market adoption of a food trend usually raises its profile. If you like KFC's version, you're more likely to want the real deal, which might make the line outside of Prince's Hot Chicken Shack even longer. I'm Ryan Kailath for Marketplace.
August 7th, 2007, 10 years ago today, an international bank, BNP Paribas, sent out the word that investors couldn't get their money from funds connected to risky subprime mortgages. If you made a horror movie of the great financial crisis, that would be the early scene where you see the first ominous crack in the hull. To mark the occasion today, the Financial Times tallied up all the U.S. fines paid by banks in the aftermath of the crisis. That number is close to $150 billion. Bank of America paid about a third of that. Where did the money go? The answer is consumer relief, the U.S. Treasury, U.S. housing agencies, and to a lesser extent, to the states. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.